Hello, welcome to Think It Through. This is Trevor Sloan, Ratio Christi Chapter Director at Kansas State University and Secretary on the Executive Board of the International Society of Christian Apologetics. We're here every Monday and Friday at 6:45 a.m. Central Time on Angel 95 FM.
Hi, we're here with Ron Ratliff, THM from Dallas Theological Seminary and librarian at Manhattan Christian College. How are you doing today, Ron?
Really good. How are you, Trevor?
Doing good, doing good. We're going to talk a little bit about C.S. Lewis. You ready?
I am ready. Let's go.
All right. First question. Who was C.S. Lewis?
C.S. Lewis was a professor of Renaissance and English literature for 30 years at Oxford University, where he earned three first-class degrees. And then in the latter part of his life, he left Oxford University and was the chair of medieval and Renaissance literature for about the last 7 years of his life until his health declined and he had to retire. So that's what he did for a living.
Awesome, awesome. All right, next question. What was his literary speciality, if he had one?
Mainly, he worked in the area of medieval and Renaissance literature. He was a tutor, which is a little different system in England than they have here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So he would meet with a number of students who would write papers. He would give feedback on papers. It was a lot of drudgery, actually, something that he did very well, but not something that he particularly got a lot of enjoyment out of because of the drudgery of it.
Okay, so that was kind of what he did as opposed to what we as Americans consider a traditional teacher?
Right. He did do some lecturing. His lectures at Oxford on medieval and Renaissance literature were extremely popular because Lewis was a very good public speaker. Mm. And the stories go is that if you wanted a seat, you'd better be there about an hour early. And since most Oxford students rode bicycles, the bicycle racks would be crammed with bicycles by the time his lecture started. So he was very, very popular.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I love his books. He was a great author. I wish I would have been around to hear him speak, too. Next question. What would you ask him if you could ask him one question?
Oh, my gosh.
Take your time on this one.
Okay, if I could ask him one thing, I would have to bring him into our time. Mm-hmm. And if he was sort of cognizant of what was going on in our times in Christianity, I would ask him for basically what is his assessment? What is the greatest need the church has today? Because obviously he died 51 years ago, so his lifetime is different than ours, and I would like to know what his perspective on things would be. That's a good question. It's a tough question.
That's a great answer. I like that. What was the primary purpose of the Narnia series?
Well, he's probably most known today, other than mere Christianity, probably the Narnian stories are what he's most known for. Mm-hmm. He began writing those in the late 1940s, although the idea for the books had been in his head for years. He says in some of his letters that he had done just about everything else he wanted to do. He'd written books on apologetics. He had written books on his field of medieval and Renaissance literature. He had debated. He was one of the founding members of the Oxford Socratic Club, which was a debating society. And by the time he reached the late 1940s, he wanted to do something else. And he had a passionate love for children's stories and for fairy tales. And so he began exploring through his vast imagination. He began writing, and out popped seven books over a period of about 4 or 5 years. Seven stories that were the Narnia stories, but he said he wanted to write books that he wanted to read. So the Narnia stories, and of course the Narnian stories are wonderful fairy tales in and of themselves, but they also have an incredibly rich philosophical Christian foundation to them.
Absolutely. All right, next question. What was C.S. Lewis's particular connection to J.R. Tolkien?
Oh, another good question. Tolkien and Lewis came to Oxford University as a tutor in the early 1920s, both he and Tolkien had served in World War One and were Army veterans, had both had really, Lewis saw friends killed, so did Tolkien. So when they came back from the war, Lewis completed his education, and Lewis had begun reading G.K. Chesterton. He had a passionate interest in the Norse mythology, and Tolkien was the person on campus at Oxford who was the expert in this. Okay. So they became friends, and through the course, and of course Tolkien was a very strong Roman Catholic, and Lewis was an atheist at this time, but through the course of their friendship in the 20s, other than G.K. Chesterton that Lewis was reading, his conversations with Tolkien became more and more centered on the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And finally, in the late 20s, early 30s, Lewis was converted to Christianity through the influence of his friendship with Tolkien and his reading of Chesterton. So, and they were friends for the rest of their life. Their friendship warmed and cooled, but at the end of Lewis's life, they had a sort of a reconciliation with each other. And when Lewis passed, Tolkien wrote to his son, and the phrase he used was, "The axe has been laid to the root." He was very, very saddened by Lewis's passing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Awesome. That's cool. It's good information again. All right, final question, and take your time on this one. Flesh it out a little. What would you say regarding C.S. Lewis's affiliation with the Anglican Church?
Wow. Well, Lewis was he was actually, a lot of people don't know, he was born and raised in Ireland and became and ended up living in England the rest of his life. He was what a lot of people, and it's a phrase that's really gone out of our dialogue today, but he was what you would call an Ulster Protestant. He was a very strong streak in him that was Protestant. And when he converted from atheism to Christianity, the Church of England was his church background, his family's church background, or the Anglican Church. So he maintained or returned to that tradition that he had been in all his life, and stayed that way all his life. There's a lot of discussion about him in that regards, because a lot of his beliefs were very Catholic in their approach, but he steadfastly throughout his life maintained his Anglican identity and died as an Anglican. But he would be seen today, of course, he's loved by so many people, but people need to remember that he was a European Christian. He was, we would call him evangelical in his beliefs, because they were, but he had some beliefs that some evangelicals may have be uncomfortable with. He believed in purgatory. Mm-hmm. He went to confession on a regular basis. He believed in the real presence of the Eucharist. So he had some Catholic leanings, but those were also High Church Anglican beliefs too. And he had an extensive correspondence with some Americans, Clyde Kilby especially, who was a professor at Wheaton. And it's a rousing correspondence. It's in his collected letters. And if you want to know more about Lewis as a person, I commend his letters to people. They're three huge volumes, but a marvelous and wonderful treasury.
And what are those titled? Are they just C.S. Lewis's letters?
They're the collected letters of C.S. Lewis. Okay. They're edited by Walter Hooper, and he did an absolutely magnificent job of annotating them, telling you who wrote them or who he was responding to. And like I said, they are a treasure trove of, it's a whole nother side of Lewis. People don't know this, but Lewis's popularity, because he was on the BBC during World War II, and then he was on the cover of Time magazine in the right after the war, his mail was delivered to him in sacks. And every single person that wrote to him got a personal reply.
Oh, wow.
So it's estimated that he may have written somewhere around 50,000 letters in his lifetime. It's an incredible, he believed that was a gift that God had given him, and he felt like he owed it to his public to answer them. So, remarkable.
Wow. Was he married?
He married late in life. He married Joy Davidman, who has also an interesting story. She was a communist at one time and through Lewis's writings converted to Christianity. If you've seen the movie Shadowlands, it's kind of a somewhat fictionalized version of it. I like it in some places and turn my nose up in others. She was diagnosed with cancer and was not expected to live, and he married her. And she went into remission for a few years, and they had about 3 or 4 good years together. Okay. And then the cancer returned, and she died in 1960. Yeah. And then he passed away just 3 years later. Okay. So he was married for a short period of time.
Cool. I was just, man, answering all those letters. I know that wouldn't make a wife happy if he was married for much of that time.
He did have help with the letters from his brother, Warney, okay, who would oftentimes type the letter and Lewis would sign it, but he would look the letters over. It became an industry between the two of them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And quite a lot of work.
Cool. Is there anything else you'd like to say about C.S. Lewis before I let you go?
I really recommend that if you're interested in really growing as a Christian more than just on a surface level, pick up some of Lewis's stuff. I usually recommend that you start with The Great Divorce. Is a good book. It's not a book about marriage, by the way. It's on a much different level. And then go to the Screwtape Letters. No matter if you're young or young at heart, of course, the Narnia stories are a wonderful way also to get introduced. And then if you have interests in literature, his books on literary criticism and his approach to things. He loved Milton. You can read for the rest of your life and never exhaust it.
Yeah, I particularly recommend Mere Christianity and the Abolition of Man.
Yes, excellent.
More great books.
Those are ones to really make you scratch your head working through them, but they are excellent.
Definitely. All right, thanks for your time, Ron.
Glad to be here.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Think It Through. Be sure to listen every Monday and Friday at 6:45 a.m. Central Time. We'd appreciate your comments as well. Email questions to thinkitthroughapologetics@gmail.com. Also, be sure to check out our Ratio Christi website at ratiochristi.org/K-State.